When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, it's day two of the Food, Fuel and Fertilizer Global Summit in Regina. One of the guest speakers at the event yesterday was the president and CEO of Mosaic Company, Bruce Bodine. We'll hear what he has to say about potash and its future coming up on today's program. Nuclear energy is one of the options considered for transitioning Saskatchewan from the current power source of fossil fuels in order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and be a cleaner, greener province. It was brought up during an interview with former Saskatchewan Premier Brad Wall, who was also attending the Food, Fuel and Fertilizer Summit in Regina yesterday. And a weekly overview of the wheat market has been provided by Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting Venture. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission. We'll have that for you as well. So all of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, it's overcast here in the Yorkton area today, but it doesn't seem to be quite as dark as it was earlier in the morning.
Yeah, the rain is pivoting around a little bit. We still have plenty of it around, but what we're seeing is the storm system, which has been feeding it, has pretty much fed all it has. The storm that's moving through the Great Lakes now is really becoming the more moisture-loaded one, so what's left now is still a decent storm stretching from western parts of North Dakota all the way down to Texas, but that corridor has now dried out. So we're seeing a real easing of the rain for us. Still wrapping around, what's already gotten pulled north and is getting fed back down is still coming down pretty strongly over eastern parts of Alberta, cutting into Montana. Heavy rain and some even elevation snow showers there. But for us, things are really on the winding down stretch. Not totally out of the woods yet. We're just in a better spot right now. You head south of Highway 48, the rain picks up a little bit, and even farther south toward the border, it gets a little bit more steady. But that too will be easing up over the course of the afternoon. What is not easing up yet is the wind. Still gusts 50 to 60 kilometers per hour for the afternoon. Temperatures likely peaked. We're in the mid-teens. We'll slowly back our way down to around 12 for the afternoon. The showers will come to an end. Still a lot of cloud cover through the night, starting to break up, though toward morning, last couple of hours of the night, we'll get that clearing taking place, so that by tomorrow morning as the sun comes up, it should clear out very quickly through the morning. 7 degrees the low tonight, 18 is the high tomorrow. The wind tonight, 20 to 40, gusts upwards of 50. Tomorrow, dropping off to 15 to 30 for the afternoon, and pretty light tomorrow night, cooler down to around 4 degrees. Some pretty dry air is in place for a couple of days to close out the week. A very nice end of the week, mostly sunny sky on Thursday, 21. 20 degrees on Friday with partly to mostly sunny sky and partly sunny Saturday. Maybe a late day shower, but the high up to 23.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at 15 degrees. Swan River and Roblin, 14. Dauphin, 16. Brandon, 11. Shoal Lake, Russell, 12. Regina and Saskatoon are at 10 degrees. Hudson Bay, 14. Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, 9. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 11. The Yorkton-Melville region has a cloudy sky, an east-northeast wind at 43, gusting to 54 kilometers per hour. 55% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 16 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 17 degrees and dropped to a low of 8 degrees. There was 9.7 millimeters of rain that fell in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 16 degrees. The normal low is 3 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:10 this morning, and it will set at 8:23 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hot spot was Winnipeg at 22 degrees. The cold spot was Kelsey Dam at minus 4 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Buffalo Narrows at 21 degrees. The cold spot was Collins Bay at minus 4 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return in 2 minutes' time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Everyone at the Food, Fuel, and Fertilizer Global Summit in Regina has a story to tell, and the Mosaic Company is one of them. President and CEO Bruce Bodine says their story goes back 60 years.
In fact, predecessor company to Mosaic built the first potash mine in the early 1960s at Esterhazy. And, you know, to be a part of that and to have a company that's ingrained in such a rich history of a major potash producing region, one of the three essential ingredients for plant health and plant, you know, growth, that's potash, phosphate, and nitrogen. We're one-third of the stool right here in Saskatchewan, and got a tremendous industry. So we're talking about that and what the outlook looks and some of the mega trends that are affecting our future.
He then talks about Mosaic's expectations for potash supply and demand.
You'd probably have to go back a little bit. Pre-Ukraine-Russia war, things were in a stable regime for fertilizers in general, whether it be nitrogen, potash, or phosphate. But on potash, we're around 71, 72 million tons globally shipped into the marketplace. And following the Russian invasion of Ukraine and some of the sanctions that also happened with Belarus at the same time or nearly in that same period of time, it really disrupted the supply side, which forced demand to be reconciled a little bit. And demand dropped 10 to 12 million tons following the invasion with Russia into Ukraine. We're now back in 2024, kind of at those historic levels. And then we expect compound annual growth in that kind of 1% to 2% per year as the population continues to grow towards 9 billion people by 2050. It's going to take a lot more food. And the need for fertilizer to grow that food to, you know, sustain a healthy population in the future.
Bodine says the Russian invasion of Ukraine really changed Mosaic's way of doing business.
It was definitely a concern on disruption because we knew trade flows would have to change. You know, one of the concerns for me particularly, I was over operations for our entire business, was, wow, we're going to really have to step up in a way that maybe we haven't before because there's such a shortage of supply. You think about Russia and Belarus combined, we're almost the size of Canada's production here domestically. So to take that much temporarily out of the market, well, how do you do that? How do you keep, you know, people in Africa and Southeast Asia, North America, doesn't matter where, how do you keep them with the fertilizer that they need to grow the food that they need for food security? So, you know, our mission is to help the world grow the food it needs. In this case, wow, how do you step up in a way that you maybe hadn't before? Because there's really going to be probably a temporary shortage given the disruption that geopolitical event caused.
And he says attending the Food, Fuel, and Fertilizer Global Summit in Regina this week is a no-brainer for him.
Yeah, it's extremely important, whether it's here, other industry associations for fertilizer on the international scale, all of those matter. It also matters that we've got a provincial government that's very involved in a proactive way with trade and telling the story on the three Fs, you know, food, fertilizer, and fuel. I was thinking energy, but it's fuel. So with uranium as an example. So, you know, the province does a great job with their trade policies and getting out and telling the story and then helping to facilitate connections with government and executives of major companies to, you know, foster deals in a healthy and productive way. So it takes all of those, but the more we get together as a greater industry and the support that we need from, you know, small and medium-sized businesses for the success of us as a large, you know, industry player is key, and events like this make a difference.
Today is the second and final day of the Food, Fuel, and Fertilizer Summit in Regina. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Langenberg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6 Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
The United States is going to require electronic animal identification on certain cattle and bison, saying it will help pinpoint and respond to animal disease outbreaks. The Americans have been very slow to adopt the electronic ID tags, which have been mandatory in Canada for nearly 15 years. The final USDA rule applies to all sexually intact beef cattle and bison 18 months of age or older, all dairy cattle, and all cattle used for rodeos, shows, exhibitions, or recreational events. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report.
GX94, AgriView.
Four Saskatchewan students pursuing a post-secondary education in agriculture have been awarded scholarships from the federal and provincial governments. Marley Mann from Lloydminster was awarded $6,000 toward her post-secondary studies as the grand prize recipient. Mann's essay highlighted the future of sustainable agriculture, promoting innovation, adaptability, and the overall vitality of the industry. Furthermore, it advocated for building public trust and transparency through educational opportunities such as farm tours and social media campaigns surrounding sustainable agricultural practices. Claire Weaver from Lloydminster, Katie Moyle from Hanley, and Madeline Anderson from Rosetown were all awarded $3,000 as the runners-up. The recipients will be attending post-secondary at the University of Saskatchewan in the fall at the College of Agriculture and Bioresources. Their fields of study will range from animal health and welfare to agribusiness and agricultural sciences. With the growing season upon us, life is about to get incredibly busy for farmers across Canada. With the hectic pace of farming comes the pressure to juggle many aspects of running a business, and sometimes one of the first balls to drop is caring for our mental health. In honor of Mental Health Week, Lawrence McAuley, the Agriculture Minister for Canada, has announced $1.08 million in funding for the Canadian Centre for Agricultural Well-being, or CCAW, through the Agri-Competitiveness Program, an initiative under the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership. CCAW is an organization that brings together national and global leaders in the mental health field to conduct cutting-edge research to develop evidence-based community-informed programming and education to address well-being-related challenges amongst Canadian farmers. Brianna Hagen, Chief Executive Officer and Lead Scientist for the organization, says the CCAW seeks to work with grassroots, community-based organizations across the country to provide meaningful support of Canadian agricultural well-being. Tyson Foods shares were on track for their worst one-day decline in a year yesterday after the U.S. meatpacker warned that consumers are under pressure from persistent inflation and high commodity costs could weigh on upcoming results. The Arkansas-based meatpacker reported second-quarter sales that fell short of analysts' estimates, though profits surpassed expectations. Third-quarter results could be weaker than the fourth quarter due to performance in Tyson's pork and prepared foods divisions. Shares fell 7.9% after tumbling earlier by more than 9%. Melanie Bolden, the unit's president, says high commodity costs could weigh on third-quarter results in prepared foods. She adds that inflation is pressuring consumers, particularly those from lower-income households at retail stores and food service outlets. France has unveiled a revised plan to halve pesticide use in the European Union's biggest agricultural producer, pledging to adopt an EU indicator and boost research into alternatives in a nod to grievances voiced in farmer protests this year. Environmental regulation was one of the main factors behind protests that swept France and parts of Europe, unsettling governments in the run-up to European elections. The French authorities have responded with extra aid and plans to simplify environmental rules, echoing steps taken at EU levels. The new plan aims to halve pesticide use by 2030 compared to the 2011 to 2013 period on the basis of an EU indicator called HRI-1, which takes into account the chemical's toxicity. The previous indicator, called NODU, applied by France, simply calculated the volume of pesticides per hectare. Under the new indicator, France has already achieved a reduction of about 30%. Wheat production in the Central Asian country of Kazakhstan is expected to bounce back in 2024-25, according to the United States Department of Agriculture attaché in that country's capital. The attaché projected a wheat harvest of 15.8 million metric tons, a sharp improvement over the 2023-24 crop of 12.11 million that was hampered by dry conditions. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will be back right after this. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's cloudy and 16 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Nuclear energy is one of the options considered for transitioning Saskatchewan from the current power source of fossil fuels in order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and be a cleaner, greener province. It was brought up during an interview with former Saskatchewan Premier Brad Wall, who was attending the Food, Fuel and Fertilizer Summit in Regina yesterday.
It's something that we looked at and started, I think, that process back in my time in government. And when we were first elected, we owned half of a fertilizer plant. And we actually, together with the company we owned it with, decided that maybe the government's role wasn't to be in ownership of a fertilizer plant. So with the proceeds from that sale, we did a couple things. One, we helped fund that children's hospital that's now in Saskatoon. But the other piece of it that we don't talk about much anymore is a significant amount of the proceeds went to a plan for Saskatchewan to lead on nuclear technology, specifically to look at SMR and other non-conventional reactor applications of enriched uranium of the nuclear cycle. And then, of course, we see, and I'm involved with a company called NextGen, which is currently building what will be the largest uranium mine in the world. We see spot prices up. We see people being bullish about uranium and nuclear power for the longer term, well beyond spot price. And we're in a great spot because Saskatchewan, for a very long time, was the number one producer of uranium. I think we fell into second place behind Australia, I think. But we're going to close that gap, especially when this next gen mine is open. And Saskatchewan, is in a position again to lead globally because of what you've talked about, this renaissance for nuclear power, and even countries in Europe, the EU in particular, has added to their list of green technologies for power nuclear. That's big. That's something that I think a lot of people never saw coming, and it's just it's indicative of what's happening for the sector, and Saskatchewan's very well positioned.
He believes Saskatchewan is ready to embrace nuclear energy.
Oh, I think so. Well, certainly from a fuel standpoint, we are, because of our prodigious production of uranium, which is about to increase, as I've just mentioned. I think we're very well positioned there. And I think we need to remember as the province that, you know, that's very positive. But we are in all of the, as I said off the top, this is an all of the above province. We have every form of energy. We have energy transition, sort of basic resources that are going to be needed for that. So as a province, and I think it behooves government, and this the government has it right in terms of making sure we get the fundamentals right to take full advantage and be an all of the above province. So even as we promote nuclear energy, emissions-free nuclear energy, we also can be leaders in CCS as it applies to enhanced oil recovery, that we can continue to be a leading exporter of oil and the other resources that we have in the province. It all benefits Saskatchewan people. It truly does. And we need to have an all of the above approach.
A formal decision on whether Saskatchewan will fully commit to SMRs won't be made until the end of the decade. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Langenberg Motors.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 177.62 today. That's up 65. August live cattle closed at 175.52, up 110. August feeder cattle closed at 254.42, up 155. September feeder cattle closed at 255.45, up 157. June lean hogs closed at 98.32, up 15. July lean hogs closed at 102.50, up 35. And that's the livestock market conditions. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. A weekly overview of the wheat market has been provided by Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting Venture. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission.
We have seen a weather market emerge based on weather challenges in Russia, the United States, and the European Union. This is further supported by issues with corn in South America. All this has led to positive charts and fund covering. And some forecasts for the next 2 weeks show the problems to continue, especially in week two of the forecasts. And now traders are waiting for updates on the balance sheets in the next WASDE report, which is coming out on the coming Friday. In terms of cash trades last week, there was not a lot to report. Algeria, that's the OIC, the Algerian State Grains Agency, is believed to have purchased between 240 and 300,000 tons of milling wheat in an international tender which closed last Thursday. U.S. export sales were net negative, although new crop sales were at a decent 400,000 tons. Turning to comments on markets by major origin, we will start with Canada per usual. Again, wheat has benefited from fund-led short covering, and in Europe, funds are now long Matif wheat, which is partly a reflection of the smaller Western European crops and the risk of smaller Russian crops. Speculative funds in Chicago reduced their net short position by 28,000 contracts. In Canada, Manitoba Agriculture is reporting spring wheat 4% seeded as of the end of April, with the central region about 10% complete. Saskatchewan and Alberta Ag have not yet issued their first crop reports for the season. However, widespread showers and cool temperatures are delaying early progress, and we are now awaiting a major storm in the south over the next 2 days. Canadian March wheat exports totaled 1.58 million tons of wheat, excluding durum, for the month of March, with China taking about 350,000 and Bangladesh just short of 300,000 tons. Indonesia, Japan, and Colombia also bought tonnages in excess of 100,000 tons. Weekly Canadian exports for week 39 were at the smaller end of the scale at 300,000 tons, with a year-to-date total of 16 million tons compared to 15.3 last year-to-date. Year-to-date exports annualized to 21.4 million tons, which would be almost 1.2 million tons larger than projected by Agriculture and Agri-Food. We expect exports to reach 21.5 million tons this year. This would also help to keep carry-in in check. With the WASDA report due next Friday and the poor weather forecasts, we don't see bearish futures this week, and traders will be reluctant to add to their positions until they have seen the WASDA numbers. So given the potential weather markets and negative forecasts, we would not make additional sales for now. Turning to durum. We know there's some early durum in the ground in southern Saskatchewan, which will be benefiting from the recent showers. However, as mentioned, there's a storm warning out for the next couple of days, which could affect southwestern Saskatchewan and southeastern Alberta. We are expecting to see the StatsCan March 31 stock numbers on Tuesday, May 7th. And according to a Reuters survey, traders and analysts put the average estimate for durum at 1.6 million tons, with a range of 1.5 to 1.8 million. The 1.6 million would be down 26% from the 2.2 last year at the end of March. In international trade, the Turkish Grain Marketing Board sold another 100,000 tons of durum on April 30th. The 70% vitreous sale was almost $28 per ton below the TMO's previous sale on the same basis. In Europe, during the month of April, however, durum prices firmed in France and in Italy by $10 to $20 euros per ton. Having said this, we also saw several specials popping up in southern Saskatchewan for number 1 and 2 quarts, for May-June delivery at 11 and a quarter per bushel late last week and this Monday morning. Canadian durum exports for week 39 at 43,000 tons were at the disappointing end of the scale. Year-to-date, durum exports at 2.7 million are 36% behind last year's volume. Canadian March durum exports were at 417,000 tons, with Algeria at 164,000 and Morocco at 119,000 tons, and they were distinctly the biggest buyers for the month. The U.S. took another 44,000 tons, but Italy only bought 20,000. Durum has been supported somewhat by the weather events in the overall wheat markets, and buyers will watch conditions in North America as well as in Russia and Kazakhstan. Meanwhile, last week's TMO tender was concluded at lower levels than previously sold and lower than the recent Mexican durum sale to Algeria. For farmers, the specials might be an opportunity to finish old crop sales, but we would not make additional new crop sales for now. Moving to the United States. Chicago wheat ended a volatile week despite Friday's 20 to 30 cent bounce, mostly due to the troubling dryness in Russia and the Western Plains. Negative U.S. weekly sales of 20,000 tons were within trade guesses of 100 to minus 100,000 to plus 100,000 tons. And the season total of 18.8 million tons is 1% below last year's, compared to the U.S. projection of a 6.4% decline. New crop sales, however, were decent at 407,000 tons. U.S. winter wheat ratings slipped another percent to 49% good to excellent, but the crop is 30% headed versus 21% last year. Kansas remains the state with the worst conditions at 31% in poor to very poor condition. Farmer selling of hardwood winter in the U.S. was light, and premiums were firm against new crop production uncertainty. 34% of U.S. spring wheat has been planted as of April 28th, with 5% emerged. There's a lot of rain in the forecast covering most of the hardwood winter belt and the corn belt. It slowed new row crop planting, which is part of the morning strength in the futures. In Australia, futures were flat, but still at an 11-week high with ongoing dryness in Western Australia, but the FOB trade was very slow. The broad weather outlook remains the same, with the eastern regions doing quite well, while the south and the west in Australia need more rain. In Argentina, 11.5% pro-wheat was priced at $2.55 per ton, which priced it largely out of the export market, and higher protein levels are hard to find. The Buenos Aires grain exchange kept the acreage estimate unchanged. In the EU, Matif wheat traded in a 10 euro per ton range last week, but ended flat despite Friday's 7 euro spike. French wheat was way off at the Algerian tender and didn't trade. As mentioned, funds covered a record 62,000 tons of Matif wheat to take them to a net long position of 14,500 contracts, which is the first net long since July last year. Regarding Black Sea wheat, southern Russia still does not have much, if any, rain in the forecast, but temperatures are cool. There was not a lot of wheat trade, and so Algeria's tender was the focus of attention. Algeria started buying at around 249 US per ton CNF, with Russian and Ukrainian wheat the assumed origins. This price is about $20 higher than their prior purchase in March, and equates to a Russian FOB parity in the low 210s per ton. So to summarize what we consider the most significant during the past week, well, basically three things. A supportive Russian, US, and EU weather market, positive charts, and fund covering. And now the trade is waiting for the updated USDA WASDE report next Friday to get an update on the numbers. So how would we summarize the week? Wheat has benefited from fund-led short covering and will now watch corn, where funds are still near record short and long-term moving averages have been broken. Wheat has become expensive relative to corn, so any further strength in corn could provide the next wave of support to wheat prices. Funds are now long Matif wheat, which is partly a reflection of the smaller Western European crops and the risk of a smaller Russian crop. The challenge is that Russia is the most aggressive new crop seller, and they may well raise the reference price to lower the export tax. So given the potential weather markets and negative forecasts, we would not make additional sales for now.
That's Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg. Please stay tuned. Your commodities update is coming up next.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up across the board again today. July canola closed at $6.67.10, up $6.20. November canola closed at $6.81.40. up $6 per metric ton. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $7.19 per bushel, down 6.5 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $6.64 per bushel, down 11.25 cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $6.42.75, down 6 cents. July corn closed at $4.67 per bushel, down 2 cents. July soybeans closed at $12.46.5, down 2.25 cents. July oats closed at $3.99.5, up 2.5 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned, SaskAg Today. We'll return right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. More rain in the forecast today, with the main targets being very dry areas in eastern Alberta and western Saskatchewan. The sunshine returns later in the week, and with it, good seeding conditions. Scott Kaler is the chief scientist at WeatherLogix in Winnipeg.
For the rest of May, generally we're looking at normal to above normal temperatures overall. So that means highs this time of year generally in the mid to upper teens, or a few days here in the 20s as well. So that'll be great to get things rolling and allow the surface to dry off a little bit after the rain event.
Grain markets had a big day yesterday with double-digit gains for canola and higher prices for soybeans, corn, and wheat. Dan Bossy is the president of Ag Resource Company in Chicago. He spoke after the market closed yesterday afternoon.
It was a big rally. I mean, July soybeans are back to their highest prices now since late 23. The wheat market made it up to some of its best levels looking backwards to the third quarter. And Paris wheat futures, if you want to go overseas, had one of their best sessions looking backwards all the way in a year. So a big green day.
So what's ahead?
You know, we've got a USDA report ahead on Friday, so our thought process was that market highs come in early this week, whether it's today or tomorrow, and then we'll kind of slough off as we get closer to the USDA. It's always hard to measure how much liquidation is left to come, but maybe a market that's higher tomorrow would provide a selling opportunity, at least in the cash market, for a lot of farmers.
Dan Bossy is with Ag Resource Company in Chicago. It's now coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, an 80% chance of showers, more steadier south of Yorkton. Winds east-northeast at 25 to 45, gusting to 60 at times, and the temperature falling to 12 degrees. For tonight, a 40% chance of spotty showers. That'll end. Winds east-northeast at 20 to 40, and a low of 7. For tomorrow, becoming sunny. Winds northeast at 15 to 30, a high of 18, an overnight low of 4. Thursday, mainly sunny, winds northwest at 15 to 30, a high of 21. For Friday, partly to mainly sunny, a high of 20, and Saturday, partly sunny, with a 30% chance of late-day showers, a high of 23. In the Paw, it's 15 degrees, Swan River and Roblin are at 14, Dauphin 16, Brandon 11, Show Lake Russell 12. Regina and Saskatoon are at 10 degrees, Hudson Bay 14, Broadview Mooseman Indian Head 9, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 11. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly cloudy sky, an east northeast wind at 43, gusting to 54 kilometers an hour. 55% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 16 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.